This is directly related to our 2020 vision as well. That we will build a community of faith in God that lives well, but not by sight. You can't live well as God defines it in His Word, and that's how we define living well. Well, how you and I think about it doesn't really count. It's what God says about it. So we can't really live well as God defines it until you know Jesus as your sanctifier. Until you are set apart by Him and empowered by the Holy Spirit, you cannot live well by faith, not by sight. This is how He set it up. This is how He makes it work. And so we need to recognize those things. So if so much hangs on this thought that Jesus is my sanctifier, well, then we need to figure out what it means so that we can understand what's going on. How does it affect how I live my life that Jesus is my sanctifier? So I want us to look at some scripture today to see what God means by sanctification, what it does in your life and my life. And we're going to start here with Jesus talking about Himself in John chapter 17. John 17, 19, Jesus said, I sanctify, this is part of His prayer. So He's praying this. I sanctify Myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about being set apart, because sanctify means to, literally, it means to set apart. That to set apart ourselves from sin and to be set apart for God. So it's very much like repentance, that I turn from sin and I turn to God. That's what that's about. Sanctification is very much the same, that we're setting up ourselves apart from sin. I don't want anything to do with that. I want to be with God. It refers, that's the word I'm going to use. It refers to more than just position in our lives. It's talking about function. When the items in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple, when you read in the Old Testament about all the stuff they used to perform the worship in the temple, the tools that they used for the sacrifices, from the knives that were used to the forks that they used to all this other stuff, the lampstands and all those things, all those items in the tabernacle and the temple were sanctified. They were set apart. And it wasn't just that they only stayed in the tabernacle, that they only stayed in the temple. That would be positional, right? It wasn't that that's just where they were. It was their function. They were only used for the purpose of worshiping God. You know, that none of the priests ever took one of the knives that they used for the sacrifice to, cut a string on a package they received. No, you just don't. That was like, no, don't do that. They were sanctified, they were set apart, not only in position, but in purpose. So when Jesus says that He sanctified Himself for His followers, that's what He was saying, He was talking about us. It was not that just that He lives in us, although He does. It wasn't just position, but that He also lives for us. In that prayer in John 17, Jesus prays for our provision. He prays for our protection. He prays for our pleasure. Okay, I know the word was joy in the scripture when you read it there in John 17, but I had this alliteration thing going, and sometimes I just can't stop myself. He prayed for our provision, for our protection, for our pleasure. When He prays that we would be sanctified, He's praying that you and I, His followers, would be set apart by the truth for our purity. Not just that we live in Him, but that we also live for Him. When we're set apart for Jesus, we give Him praise. He's glorified by our lives. This is the same thing that Hebrews 13:12 talks about when it says, therefore Jesus also suffered outside the gate so that He might sanctify the people by his own blood. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could be set apart, sanctified, consecrated by his blood to live in him and for him. Is this making sense okay? All right, good. So otherwise I got to go back and start over. Jesus, you see, is our sanctifier. It's because of him that, and what he has done, that we're set apart, that we're sanctified. Understanding that that's what sanctification means is helpful, but what does it look like? In Ezekiel, and you want to turn here to Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 28, it gives us insight into what takes place in our lives in this process of sanctification. The prophet was talking about Israel here being restored one day. They were in captivity. They were beaten down. It was not a good place for Israel to be when Ezekiel was writing this. But he was talking about and prophesying about what was going to happen. He was looking ahead. God gave him this vision to say, this is what's going to happen, Israel. You need to understand what it's going to look like when they were restored and they returned to God. And God described how he would set them apart. So I want you to listen to what he says and see how it applies to us today as we think about sanctification, being set apart. God is speaking through the prophet and he says, I will also sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all impurities and all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I give your fathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. He says, I will sprinkle you with clean water, cleanse you from impurities and idols. A new heart, a new spirit replacing the old, dead and hard hearts that we once had and changing them with new life. God's spirit would be in us to lead us to follow God's way. That's what it looks like when we talk about sanctification. Israel would live in the land that was promised to them and they would live for God. They would be in that place, but it would also be their function. We're living for God. We are His people, His children. So that all the nations of the world would be able to see, oh, that's what God is like. God claimed them as His people and they claimed Him as their God. They were living in his presence and for his glory. But here in Ezekiel, it also talks about the role that the Spirit plays in sanctification. Because God told them, listen, the day will come when I will place my Spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. It is here that God makes the promise to Israel, to his people, that one day the Holy Spirit would live in his people. And this was new to them. They knew about the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God would come on people at different times, like think Samson, when the Spirit came on him, great big strong guy. And there were different prophets when all the prophets would say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And that because of that, I get to speak. But here he says something totally different. He said, listen, the day will come when the Spirit will be in you. He will live in his people and will cause them to follow and obey. And that's what Jesus accomplished. When he came to the earth, when he died on the cross. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1, in salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit as a seal, as a guarantee. And that is true for every believer in Jesus. that you, he says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Woohoo! Okay, that's what we're supposed to do when we read something like that. We're supposed to go, woohoo! Praise God! That's what that means, to the praise of his glory. That's just a nice way of saying it. It's like, ah! When you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Praise God indeed. What a gift. What a gift. But Scriptures goes on to talk about a second work of God's grace, whereby we are sanctified. Seeing you, I'd come back around to that, right? Where the Holy Spirit who lives in us fills us. A.B. Simpson put it this way in one of his early books. He said that salvation is like building a house and having the work done well. Good thing, right? Having a great house. Salvation is building that house, he said. And then he said, sanctification is having the owner come and dwell in the house and fill it with gladness and life and beauty. Jesus is our sanctifier. He has made the way for us to both be forgiven and cleansed, and for the Spirit of God to live fully in us. That's why we talk about it as being filled with the Spirit. Not that we get more of the Holy Spirit like he gets portioned out a little at a time. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Okay? Person. Whole thing. That's it. You know, it's not like your salvation, you receive an arm. And then later you get more. No, that's not it at all. It's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit. It's that the Holy Spirit really gets more of us. That he lives more fully in us when we submit to his guidance and his provision in our lives. It's a distinct second work of God's grace following your salvation. And one that, just like your salvation, you get to choose. You must choose that. Back to that again. This is the amazing superpower God has given to you. You get to choose. He said, well, I don't want that. Can I make an automatic, you know, deposit type thing? No. You must choose. So how can I be sanctified? How do I make that choice? If it's a distinct second work of God's grace after salvation, if it's a necessary for me to live the way that Jesus wants me to live, if it is, as has been described here in God's word, a new heart and a new spirit that's in me, well, then I want that. Now what? Well, here's what the Bible says about how you can be sanctified, set apart for God by Jesus. It begins with recognition. Recognize that Jesus alone is your sanctification. See, sometimes we get into this mess where we think, well, if it's Jesus plus this, or it's Jesus plus that, or yes, I believe in Jesus, but now I gotta do this or that or the other thing. No, recognize that it is Jesus alone, that Jesus alone is your sanctification. All that we've talked about so far this morning, do you believe it's true? That Jesus is my sanctifier. And do you believe that you need it? Or do you look at your life and say, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm kind of comfortable here. I'm not. No. That's the recognize. Recognize that Jesus alone is your sanctification and that you need that. And when you do, you repent. Repent of your self-effort. you reject the notion that living right for God is like this huge mountain, you know, that he's up top and somehow I have got to climb every mountain. See, I hang out with Jeff too much. That's the problem. You know, that somehow I've got to climb these cliffs and struggle over the rocks and make my way through the brush and climb and work and someday I'll get close to the top. And that's our self-effort, and that's not what Jesus wants for us, ever. Jesus purchased your sanctification on the cross, just like he purchased your salvation on the cross. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all, the writer of Hebrews said. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus, once and for all. He paid for it. All your self-effort is absolutely worthless if you're trying to earn the title set apart for God. It's like going to the store with Monopoly money. It doesn't do it. Repenting of self-effort means simply saying to God, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry that I've been trying to do this myself. Please forgive me." And then stop it. Right? That's the other part of repenting, isn't it? You say, "I'm sorry," and then you stop it. And you say, "No, Jesus is my sanctifier, 100%. And that's what this next one is. It's receive. You receive by faith the fullness of the Holy Spirit as the gift that it is. Unearned, undeserved, totally the gracious gift purchased by Jesus and offered to you. You receive it. And really, that's the only thing that you can do with a gift, isn't it? If I offered your gift, Drew, I don't have anything here. Oh, wait. Now you don't want it because I blew in it. But if I were to offer this as a gift to you, you can say, "No, I don't want it," because you just touched it with your lips. I get that. But if you were to say to me, "Oh, yeah, I'll give you a quarter for that," then it's not a gift anymore. Then it's a purchase. You see? When we say to Jesus, "Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do this." Make up your list however you want. And they can be good things on your list. Don't misunderstand me. But the moment you say, "Oh, I'll do this so I can earn it," it ceases to be a gift. No, the only thing you do with a gift is say, "Thank you." You receive it. Receive it by faith. It's the exact same faith by which you received your salvation. Remember how Jesus said it in Luke chapter 11? "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We didn't sing "Good, Good Father" today, but you know the song. You know, yes, you're a good father. We believe that. And part of that is he gives to us our salvation. He gives to us our sanctification as a gift. And the only thing that we can do is receive it. "Thank you, Lord." Finally, you recognize, you repent, you receive. Finally, remain. Do you remember when you were saved? Some of you have to think longer back than others. I get it, but work that brain a little bit. Do you remember when you were saved? You asked Jesus to forgive your sin. But there was this other part to that, wasn't there? He said, look, I want you to also be my Lord. My Lord and my Savior. I want you to forgive my sin and I choose to follow you. That's what it means that he's your Lord. You're going to listen to him. You determined that you wanted to follow him with your life. You didn't want to be cleaned up and then go back out and play in the mud some more. No, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to change the way I live my life. I choose your way instead of mine. It's just the same way that you receive the gift of sanctification, with the commitment to remain in Christ as he remains in you. The Bible talks about it as walking in the Spirit daily. Ongoing, walking, living as the Holy Spirit guides you. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If you're going to receive this gift of sanctification from God, it means you want to listen to what the Spirit's telling you. He's going to live inside of you? Not because living inside of you is such a neat place, but because he's there 24/7 to guide you. This is the way, walk in it. Do what I say. You see, being sanctified is a crisis event. It's in that today is the place and the time that you make the choice to repent and receive the gift. But it's also progressive in that from now on, you determine to remain, to walk in the Spirit. You set your mind in that direction. You say, this is what I'm going to do. And then you don't make a big list of things you're going to do. This is one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do what the Spirit tells me to do. I'm going to listen. Will we always do that? No. Because we're imperfect. I get that. That's why God is always so gracious to forgive us and to bring us back. That's a beautiful part of it. But if you don't choose to follow, you'll do that a lot more often. Because you won't really be listening at all. The beauty of all of this is this whole process of sanctification and walking in the Spirit is that you don't have to figure it out yourself. The Spirit is the one who guides you. He provides for you everything you need to do to accomplish what he's telling you to do. He enables you to go where he leads. He enables you to do what he directs. There have been so many times in my life when the Spirit says, here, I want you to do this. And I said, well, I can't do that. I'm afraid. I'm not able. I can't. He says, I know, but I can. And the Spirit enables us to do it. There was a neighbor of mine. Not here. There was a neighbor of mine who I met. Who didn't know the Lord. Nice guy, but lost. And one day, the Spirit said to me, call Lou up. Go talk to him. See, if you got to tell him about me. I'm like, oh Lord. I can't just call someone up and say, hey, can I come over and talk about Jesus? He doesn't know you. What's he going to think? That crazy pastor neighbor of mine. Is he never going to talk to me again? Is he going to reject me? And then what, Lord? And all these reasons in my head why I can't do this. And I confess, I didn't do it that day. Or the next day. This is one of the things about the Spirit living in you, is He's always there to go, remember I told you? Remember I told you? Remember I told you? And so I called Lou up. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this, Lord. But in my head, I was going to make it as difficult as possible. I didn't want to say, hey, Lou, can I come over and, you know, just visit for a little bit? Because he'd probably say yes to that. So I said, Lou, can I come over and tell you about Jesus today? Yeah, that'd be great. That's what he said. I'm like, oh, man. Now I gotta go. And I went over and I sat in the living room at Lou's house. And there were probably a few little pleasantries, but I mean, it was pretty much like, I told you I was coming to talk about Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus. And I basically just laid out the good news to him. The bad news that we're all sinners, and then the good news that you don't have to stay that way. And I got to the end, and he hadn't said much of anything the whole time. As he was just like nodding, following along. They understand? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And got to the end, and I just said, okay, does that sound like something you'd like for your life, Lou? He said, yeah. And then, here's the kicker. God never does anything little. His wife was in the kitchen, just off the living room, just doing kitchen stuff. I wasn't talking to her. And she peeked her head around the corner and said, can I do that too? Lou and his wife were born again that day. Changed their lives. But it's because the Spirit guides us, but then enables us to do it when we walk in the Spirit. That's just one example. Because the beauty of all this is the Spirit does indeed enables us to go where He leads. He enables us to do what He directs. He's never going to ask you to do something you can't do without Him. Jesus is our sanctifier. He has made the way for you and me to live a new life. A life that He has given to us. A gift. He gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us 24/7. And ask that we submit. Submit to His guidance and His provision in our lives. It's not this great big huge list of do's and don'ts. It's one thing. Do what I say. Sanctification. If you recognize today that sanctification is your desire, you're saying, I never thought about that before. I never realized that's what that was all about. If that's your desire, that I want that, then I want to tell you that there is no better time than right now to repent of your self-effort and receive the gift that Jesus offers to you. And I don't do this often. I'm going to do it today. I invite you to come to the altar today. Here at the steps in the front pews, wherever, whatever you're able, but if that's what you want, I invite you to come and pray and accept Jesus as your sanctifier. Make the choice. You get to make the choice. That's what I want. I want that gift. And if you do, you'll be able to leave today walking in the Spirit. With Him in you and for you like never before. And so I'm going to pray. And it's not going to be a long prayer. This is not one of those, hey, we're going to sing 20 verses just as I am till you respond, or I'm not going to call out names or anything like that. This is you and God. And as I pray, if that's what you want, then come. As that choice that you make to submit to the Holy Spirit's guidance and provision in your life, I'd love to pray with you. Gracious Father, thank you so much for the privilege you give to us to talk with you, but also to rely on you. Lord, thank you for this gift that you've given to us in Christ called sanctification, being set apart. Set apart from sin. I don't want that anymore. Set apart to you. You are the one I want. Lord, as your Spirit speaks to our hearts right now, would you draw us to you? And gracious Father, we'll give you the praise because this is a work that you do. Not me. Thank you, Father. We love you. You are so generous with us. So gracious, so kind. For your glory, we ask these things.